It's on. Am I coming through? Thank you, everybody, for your parts. It takes everyone with their gifts to make it all work. I'd like to give special thanks to Justin, who he did some extra tech help this week to get this, help me to get it ready. Thank you guys for doing the various things for audio and sound, etc. Praise team, always good. I sing those songs all week. I don't know what it is. The Lord brings them to my remembrance, and I catch myself singing them through the week. So that's a good thing. It's always good. So pick carefully. I know you do. I know you do. Thank you, Will. That was a good start. Appreciate it, brother. And everybody, even Chuck, we don't mention Chuck. He is faithful. He's here every Sunday helping set up. And just our greeter. Yeah. Appreciate Chuck. Exactly. If you want to, you can open up to your Bibles in chapter 12 and 13. We're working through the book of Genesis. And we've had a couple of messages already. And as you can see by our PowerPoint behind you, we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham, or as he's known in this portion of Scripture, Abram. I'll be using the name Abraham, because I'll mess it up, I know, so I won't call him Abram, because his name was changed, but in this, except for when we read the Scripture, but it's the same person. And so we're in not working. I don't know why it's not working. Okay. Just, it wasn't doing the error thing. Okay. That's why we have tech guys, right? Praise the Lord. Abraham, father of all who believe. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can be here, that we can open up your word, that we have it in our possession, that we can read the truth that is contained in it. And even though many portions of this word is thousands of years old, it's alive and living and helpful for us today. And we're so glad we have it. Jesus, we know that you're the living word, the word that became flesh. And we're just so thankful for you and for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us. Spirit, Lord, take my words. Impact the hearts of your people here this morning with your word and my words, that Jesus would receive glory. And we pray it in his name. Amen. See if it works this time. Yeah, it works. Good. Most of us, when we were children, grew up in either Sunday school or Vacation Bible School, and we sang this little song. And we're going to sing it this morning. Father Abraham, okay? Father Abraham. The arms and the stand up, turn around, and everything else. Now, my question for you is this biblically sound, this song that we sang as children and that we still sing with our children? Are we one of Abraham's sons? And we're going to find out, yes, indeed, we are Abraham's sons. Now, we're not the only ones that claim to be Abraham's sons. There are three major world religions all claim Abraham as their father. And, of course, that would be Islam or the Muslims, the Jews, and Christians. Muslims believe that Abraham was a prophet. Of course, his son Ishmael was regarded as a prophet as well. We don't call him a prophet, but they regard him as a prophet. And the ancestor of Islam, Muhammad, was in the lineage of Ishmael. But as we know, Muhammad was not a prophet. The Quran is not a holy book. Just one example to give you. There are four conflicting stories in the Quran of how Muhammad was called, his supposed call. The first one was that God appeared to him and called him. The second one says that the Holy Spirit called him. The third one says angels issued the call. In a fourth place, it says that Gabriel appeared to him and called him. Well, they can't all be right, so that contradicts itself. And they're all lies. And they do not believe that Jesus is God, the Muslims. They believe he was a prophet, but I also found out in my reading that they don't believe he was ever crucified, that he died a natural death. Again, they're all lies. And so, but they claim Abraham as their father. Of course, the Jews claim Abraham as father. Isaac was Abraham's son. Jacob, Israel, was his name was changed to Israel. And Joseph were his grandson and great-grandson. But as we carefully listen to Jesus and what he says about Abraham's true descendants and his true children, I think it will open your eyes. It opened my eyes as I studied this. So we're going to go to that. This is what it says, and this is Jesus in the red. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed, "If you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then he answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Well, they must forget about those 400 years in Egypt, apparently. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." We were singing about slave to fear. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. "A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And he goes on to say this, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen from my father, and you do what you have seen from your father." And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. I am a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Jesus doesn't mince words here, I'll tell you. "You do the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is the liar and the father of it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Of course, they knew what I am meant. Jesus was claiming to be God. So, what is this all saying? Jesus says whoever commits sin is a slave to it. And their real father was the devil. Boy, talk about getting slapped in the face, huh? He didn't mince words. Because you do what he wants you to do. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you'll do the works of Abraham. Basically, Jesus is saying to his disciples and to those Jews and to us, if you're Abraham's children, you'll be like him. You would love me. So, we might not be biological children of Abraham, but because we love Jesus, we are Abraham's spiritual children. Just as much a child, or more of a child, of Abraham than the actual descendants of Abraham himself. So, therefore, Christians and true believers who follow Jesus are the real children of Abraham. Paul in Romans 4:11 reinforces this idea when he says, Abraham was the father of all who believe. That's what he says, including the Gentiles, which means our non-Jews. This is because when Abraham first believed, he was still uncircumcised. The Jews kind of forgot that, and Paul was reminding that when he received God's call and believed in God, he was still uncircumcised, meaning that Abraham wasn't made right with God because of obeying the law and being circumcised and everything, but it was by his faith that made him right with God. Listen to Romans 4:13 and verse 16. It says this, Abraham and his descendants received the promise that they would get the whole world. But Abraham did not receive the promise because he followed the law. He received that promise because he was right with God through his faith. So people get what God promised by having faith. This is what happens. This happens so that the promise can be a free gift. And if the promise is a free gift, then all of Abraham's children will get that promise. The promise is not just for those who live under the law of Moses, but it's for all who live with faith as Abraham did. He is the father of us all. And that's what he's writing to these Gentiles. So Abraham really is our father. And it's reiterated again in Galatians 3:13 and 14. It says this, Paul says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So according to scriptures, the true children of Abraham gets running out of batteries or something. I'll take a handheld one. That'd be all right. So, Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. You'll do the things that he did. So, in other words, we're going to be like him. My question this morning is, are you a chip off the old block? You know that expression, don't you? Kids that do things like their dads does, they say, oh, that's a chip off the old block. You can see that, you know. My question is, are you a chip off the old block of Abraham? He's a really old block. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a portion of Abraham's life and see at least three things that the Holy Spirit wants to show us to see how Abraham is an example for us to follow. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened to them as examples and were written for our admonition. That means all the Old Testament, all those things are examples for us to follow and they're written for our admonition. That's what the Lord's saying. So, the first of the three things I believe the Lord wants us to look at. God appeared or revealed himself to Abraham. God called him to follow. And he wanted Abraham to be set apart, separated from his family's idolatry. Now, my question is, how do we know that Abraham's father and the rest of the family were idol worshipers? It does not say that in Genesis here where we read this. You can read through Genesis 12, 13. It never says it. So I was thinking, I wonder where this comes from. But I knew this somehow. So the answer is Joshua 24, 2. So if you have these scriptures, you can read this.
Joshua 24, 2. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, his brother, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods."
So we hear right from the Word of God that both Abraham's father and his brother both worshipped idols. And so what God was doing, he was calling Abraham, he's saying, I want you to come apart from that. I don't want you to be following that any longer. I'm setting you apart. I'm doing something special with you and your family, and I want you to get out of that. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 12, we're going to be reading some verses from there. That's where our main verses come from this morning. Genesis 12, 1-3. If you have that, you can read that, whoever has that.
God instructs Abraham to move. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
Wow, that's quite the promise that God made to Abram. That promise is still true to the nation of Israel, and it's still true for Christians as well, spiritual children of Abraham. And when it says, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you, of course, that's an allusion to the lineage of Jesus. Jesus would come through the lineage of Abraham. And so, this was not the first time that God called Abraham to move, though. This is when he was in Haran that this call came. And but again, Genesis doesn't say that, so we have to go other places in the Bible to find it. So, who has Acts 7, 2-3? This is Stephen just before he was being martyred. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's speaking things the Holy Spirit wants him to say. And this gives you a little bit of an idea because it's not said in the Old Testament, but Stephen says it here. Go ahead.
Stephen, just before he was martyred, tells us, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you."
Thank you. So this call came when he was in Ur in Mesopotamia. So this is, over here is like basically modern day Iraq. And this is where Abram lived. And these are routes they think he might have taken. This is a route or an alternative route. They're not exactly sure. They're pretty, this is how people would have migrated in those days. And it was a long trip. But he went from Ur and then stayed up here in Haran for many years, and then God called him again to go to Canaan, which is modern-day Israel today. So it was quite a journey that Abram made. So, if we're to be like Abraham, does that mean we're supposed to move to Israel? How literally do we take this, you know? No, I don't think that's what the Lord had in mind necessarily. You can still stay in your house, Emily, and well, you don't need to go. Unless he calls you to go. But what he's telling us by separating Abraham from his idol-worshipping family, to get him separated from that is that he's to be set apart from the world. That's what God is saying to us this morning. He's reminding us that we're not to be like the world, that we're to be separate from the world. And so we have three scriptures. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17, Romans 12, 2, and 1 Peter 2, 9. So those three scriptures we're going to read down. Listen to the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to us this morning.
2 Corinthians 6, 16, 17. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Okay, God has set us apart. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. People are supposed to see Jesus in us. And what agreement does the temple of God, which we are now, our bodies are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us, what agreement do we have with idols and stuff of this world? We're supposed to be separate. How about Romans 12:2?
12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Okay, we're not supposed to be pushed into the world's mold. We're not supposed to look like them. We're supposed to be different. That doesn't mean that we have to necessarily dress different, but we should be acting different, talking different, living different. And we need to be transforming our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what we're doing now is we're reading Scripture. We're renewing our minds again. And 1 Peter 2:9.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light.
Okay. We're chosen by God. We're special. Holy nation, that we may declare his praise, called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's great, isn't it? So, we're to be set apart. God's hand is upon you. He has saved you and has commissioned you for a specific purpose. Hopefully you know what that purpose is, and if not, keep seeking the Lord on what that purpose should be, and it changes sometimes. Even though sometimes we may feel like we've been put on the shelf or forgotten, we have been set apart and have been called by God for something important. He has chosen us, anointed us, and equipped us to be used by him for the advancement of his kingdom on this earth. And like Abraham, we are to be thinking and acting differently from the world around us. Our desire should be to please God. We may not always succeed, but our heart should be tender towards him, and we should be willing to obey at any moment. And when we get off track, he will lead us back to the path that he has for us. So, and then finally, 1 Thessalonians 4:1.
Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to live in the way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more.
Okay. I'm going to pray at the end of each section here. So we're going to take a time of prayer right now. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your love for us, for sending Jesus to take our place on that cross. Thank you for appearing to us, showing yourself to us, for calling us to be your children, children of Abraham. Help us to remain faithful to you and to your call, to be set apart, to be truly different, to be salt and light, at work, in our communities, wherever we're at, to be like Jesus, that those in the world around us might also come to know you and your great love. We pray in his name, Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's the first thing. Be set apart. Second thing about Abraham is that he listened to God. He did what God asked him to do, and he was quick to obey what God said to him. And he worshiped God. Let's listen to Genesis 12, 4 to 7. You can follow along in your Bibles if you're open to Genesis. So whoever has that, you can read.
So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him.
Thanks, Laura. Now think about this. Abraham didn't know where he's going when he left. You know, so often we read these accounts from the Bible and we forget that they're real people. This isn't like some make-believe something. This is real. I mean, could you imagine telling your neighbors that you're going to be moving? What would be their first question? Where are you going? What would Abraham say? I don't know, but we'll know when we get there. They think you're crazy. I'm serious. You tell your neighbors you're moving, and you don't know where you're going, they really think you've lost it. Well, that's probably what they thought about Abraham. And yet, he was quick to obey. He departed. The next verse says that he departed. Doesn't say how long it took. Now, some other things to think about. Abraham was 75. He's not a spring chicken, you know what I mean? And he packed up all he had. What was all he had? Probably thousands of animals. Sheep, goats, donkeys, camels. Could you imagine packing up all your quail and ducks and pigs and so here we go, fellas. We're going down the road a little. We'll figure out when we get there. I mean, I can't imagine. He traveled. And not only that, he had hundreds of herdsmen to help him and slaves, basically. Traveling between 400 and 500 miles through the wilderness, there's no KOAs to camp at, no motels with warm showers, no McDonald's to get takeout. There's probably lack of food, lack of water. This is a wilderness. It was unpredictable. You know, you don't know if sandstorms are going to come blowing in. There's dangers from wild animals, from bandits, all that. And yet he went with the whole entourage. If we could just picture it, if we could just be a little mouse to be able to be there, go back in time and see it all moving, it'd be like, it would have taken months for him to get there. And yet he trusted God to lead him, to guide him, and to protect him. That's pretty amazing. How about you and me? Let's bring it to us. Sometimes we don't totally understand God's plan for us in our lives. Sometimes it doesn't make sense completely. But will you trust God and follow? I think there's no coincidence that this message is for this Sunday with us moving to Teen Central. We don't have all the questions answered, how it's all going to look, what it's all going to be like. And yet we too, I believe, have heard his call, and we're going. We need to live lives that model Abraham's obedience. And it says when he finally got there, when the Lord said, "This is it," he built an altar and worshiped the Lord. That's profound. He sacrificed to the Lord and worshiped him. But I think his true sacrifice was just his faithful obedience, more so than the animal he threw on that altar. And I believe his obedience was a sweet fragrance, a pleasing aroma to the Lord, as much as that sacrifice was. Because he was sacrificing his life, his future. And I pray the same thing could be said of us, that we live lives of obedience that are pleasing to him, that our lives would be a sweet aroma to our Father. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for Abraham's example. And help us to be more and more like him each day, to trust you, to lead us, to let our lives be characterized by faithful obedience to you, just like Abraham. Help us to present our lives and our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is our spiritual act of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the third and last thing I felt that the Lord wanted us to look at was Abraham's faith. He's called the father of faith. He had faith in God, faith in God's character, faith in God's word. And yet Abraham's faith was tested, as ours also will be tested. You know, often people have this false idea that if you're being obedient to God and you're doing what God is asking you to do, that everything will go well. Got news for you, right? Abraham did everything God instructed him to do, and he went to the promised land. And when he finally got there, Genesis 12:10 says, "Now there was famine in the land." Huh, you got to be kidding me. We went all this way, and now there's famine. Probably there was drought, which caused the famine. They didn't have a summer like we had, I can tell you that. So what happened? Abraham had to go down to Egypt to be able to get food to eat for him and his flocks and herds and everything. But this was a test from God. Now we're going to read Abraham. We're going to read about Abram in Egypt. We're going to read Genesis 12, 11 to 20. I know there's a lot of verses here, but listen to Abraham, this father of faith.
And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say that this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." And it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, and that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had.
So here's our father of faith. It's an interesting story. You know, the same thing happens again later on in Genesis. You'll read, and the same thing happened, and he responds the same way. You know, Abram had flesh on, didn't he? He was human. He wasn't a superman, as you might think. He had lapses of doubt, lapses of fear, but yet he learned and he grew in his faith and his trust in God. And we serve this God who is a God of second chances. Isn't that good to know? 7 times 70 chances. And like Abraham, our faith too will be tested and tried. Listen carefully to these following verses out of James 1, 2 to 4, and 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Listen to these about the testing of our faith.
James 1, 2 to 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing."
Okay, remember, when the trials come to test our faith, consider all joy. Okay, and the 1 Peter one.
1 Peter 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, right here, these two verses are telling us that be ready, our faith will be tested. And it's in those times when we're in the fire that our faith is refined. And it comes out as gold in the end. And so Abraham and Sarah both were tested, both grew, both matured in their faith. And later in life, they fully trusted God and His Word. That's where we're going for. We're going for total trust in God and His Word. Listen to Hebrews 11, 8 to 12.
Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
Okay, and that's your Romans 4, 17 to 21.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
Okay, thanks. Hopefully you're picking up on this. This is the Word of God. It's truth that we're reading here. You know, God is for you. He's not against you. He's on your side, no matter what. Yet he wants us to mature in our faith and live boldly and confidently in him and in his promises. He wants us to step out in faith, and he's asking us to do it without fear and without doubting. Not always easy to do. And if we already see the answer, it's not faith, is it? That's called sight. Faith is believing in something you don't see. I've never seen Jesus crucified. I haven't seen the empty tomb. But I believe, and you believe. That's faith. And so he doesn't want us to fear, and he doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to trust him and his word. What he said he'll do, he'll do. And that's what Abraham and Sarah did. This is why he commands us to speak his word, the Bible. Speak it in faith. Do not speak or voice our fears and our doubts. Are you listening? God does not want us to voice our doubts and our fears. He wants us to speak faith, which is his word. Speak his promises, not your doubts. Why? In Romans 10, 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want your faith to increase and mature? Speak out loud the word of God. It's what the word of God says. Speak it out loud. Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing through the word. So to help Abraham and Sarah's faith, God instructs them and us to speak his promises out loud. Whatever it is that you're looking for an answer, find the promise and speak it out loud. Pray it back to him, and faith will rise up within you. This is why he changed their names. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. Abraham means the father of many nations. Sarah means princess, a female member of a royal family. Here they were, 99 years old and 90. And God tells them, I'm giving you new names. And I want you to call each other these names. And they instruct everybody else to call them that too, all their servants. Could you imagine being there in Abraham's tent? And he tells all his servants, okay, I'm not Abram anymore, I'm Abraham. And they knew that meant father of many nations. Sarah saying, don't call me Sarai, but I'm Sarah now. I'm a princess. They're probably thinking, man, this old couple has lost it. They want children so bad. Listen to them. Oh, poor Abraham and Sarah. It looked so foolish, sounded ridiculous, and yet they did it. They spoke it out and had people call them that, and they kept hearing that. Father of many nations. What about this? Every time they said the name Abraham, they were calling him that, and it reinforced it in his mind, and he believed it. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Well, praise God, he believed it, and that promise was fulfilled in God's timing. And it will be in his timing for you too, what you're believing in. If it's a promise for you, it's for you. Keep speaking it, keep believing it. Hopefully it doesn't go as many years as it does Abraham. But we don't know God's timing on things. Trust him and believe it. Speak faith and not your doubt. Mark 11, 22, 25. This is Jesus. This is what he says to us.
Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that when you receive them, and you will have them.
Are you listening, New Beginnings? Am I listening, Mike? This is as much for me as you. Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith, who speaks things that are not as though they were. That's what it says in the word that he did. What things do you want? He's saying, speak it. We're not supposed to pray about our mountains. He asks us right here, he says, speak to the mountains. What is the obstacle? What is the problem? What is the thing? Whoever says to this mountain, that looks kind of foolish, doesn't it? You're talking to some mountain, some obstacle, some problem in your life. You're speaking to that issue. Speak to the Lyme disease. Leave in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to Lyme disease. Leave in Jesus' name. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? He's telling us to do that right in his word, commanding it to leave. And it says, who does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Wow, that's amazing. And then James comes back and says this. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let him ask in faith, without doubting. And he who doubts is like a wave. I did read that. Tossed by the wind. He will not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Wow. So God is saying to us, come on, people, be like your father. Abraham. And we're growing in that. None of us have gotten there yet. We haven't arrived, so to speak. I'm not arrived. But we got to start practicing it more and more and start speaking to the mountains and speaking the promises of God back to him and believing him. The more you speak them, the more faith rises up in you. So, like Abraham, we all were going to have trials in this life, times of waiting on God to come through. And he will use it as a test, as he did with Abraham, to test us and to stretch us and to mature our faith. He does promise that he'll work all things out for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Do you believe that? I do. It's hard sometimes. It's hard when the ends don't meet or whatever the case may be. Part of it is God allows these challenges and actually uses these challenges at times to draw us nearer to himself. But make a determined decision to boldly believe God and his promises. Cling to them. And when the whole world around you says it'll never happen, as they probably did Abraham and Sarah, don't go along with them. Keep believing in spite of it. Keep speaking faith. Doubt your doubts. If you're going to doubt your doubts. That sounds funny, I guess. But believe God and his word. Believe that he's going to do something amazing on your behalf, in you and through you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example of Abraham. Lord, we thank you for this faithful man who you blessed in many ways, but it was a tough road for him for many years. But you were faithful to him, and you'll be faithful to us. Help us to know your word better and better because it contains so many promises that you have for us. Help us to walk by sight, or walk by faith, not by sight, as Abraham did. Even when everything around him was shouting the exact opposite of what your promise was, he grew in his faith and finally completely believed what seemed totally impossible. Help us to be like that, not voicing our fears and doubts, but speaking your word in faith and obedience. Lord, we live in this fallen world, much like Abraham's was back in the day. Help us to be set apart, to be lights in dark places, that others may come to know you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end with a video by Jeremy. Released in 2002. You can sing along if you know it. Otherwise, take in the words and be blessed by it. This will be our closing.
not see will be cursed. This broken road prepares your will for me.
So this week, walk by faith, just like our father, Abraham, and let your light shine. Can't help it anyway. So have a great week in the Lord.